As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Everybody, what's up? Welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. It is Thursday, April 7th. Michael Beller, Jake Seeley here with you. We're going to be talking through some wide receiver and tight end rankings post-free agency, post-trade, post all the great movement that has been happening across the NFL over the previous few weeks. Last week, we went through quarterbacks and running backs. This week, we'll hit the pass catchers, wide receivers, and tight ends. Usually Brandon Funston with us, but Funston, man, Jake, so Brandon Funston goes on vacation. His kids are on spring break. That's awesome. Funston works hard. Funston deserves a vacation. Should have taken a longer vacation as far as I'm concerned, but he didn't. He's actually back home right now in the Seattle suburbs, not joining us because, you know, he's whatever. He wants like another half day just to recover from the 90 degree temperatures or whatever he was getting to enjoy in Palm Springs. And he's not here with us. It's kind of ridiculous if you ask me.
I mean, he's in the Fantasy Hall of Fame. So what, he's half retired at this point. He's like the wrestlers that are retired but still wrestle, but they only wrestle like four times a year or three times a year. He's a part timer at this point. Like that's what he's doing. He's laying it up. He's not putting in the full effort anymore.
He's the Undertaker, Stone Cold, something like that, right? I'm a little out of the wrestling loop, as we've talked about on the show.
Yeah, definitely, especially because they both are way retired.
Well, there you go. But the point remains, you know, Funston, we'll get back with you next week. Let's talk wide receivers. Let's talk tight ends here, Jake. We've got plenty to get through here. Last week, like I said, we went through running backs and quarterbacks, and we're just sort of resetting the stage for these guys. You know, we like to do rankings right after the season ends, and that's fun, and that lets us lengthen our content a little bit. But we know that that's really not something that's going to hold for too long. We're now at a stage where the rankings we're starting to put together are probably going to look pretty similar to what we have in the summer when we're really putting our rankings together. There's going to be some draft things that happen and things in the NFL draft that shake up a player here or there. And of course, there's going to be unfortunate injuries that happen and minicamp OTAs, things like that. But basically, what we're looking at right now here in early April is going to look awfully similar to the first sets of rankings that we're putting out in June, July, whatever the case may be. So it's a good place to lay a foundation and then start forming our conversations from there. So we're going to get into wide receivers here, Jake. And now this is a super, super interesting position. For my money, you can make a case for, I think, three guys as the number one receiver. For me, I if you said four, I would say okay, assuming that we have the same four. For me, the three you can make the case for as number one: Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. The one who I don't put in, but I would allow for someone else to put in, is Davante Adams. And I think they're unquestionably the top four receivers.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with your top four. I'm going to say is for the number one position, there is no debate, in my opinion. He's a tier of his own. Because I tweeted this during the offseason, you take off 20%. Like, people need to think about that. Just like let that sink in for a second. Mm-hmm. 20% of Cooper Kupp's production from last year, and he still finishes just behind Deebo Samuel as the number two wide receiver, and it was fewer than 5 points behind him. So you chop off 20, basically. So if you chop off 19%, he's still the number one wide receiver in fantasy football. That's how ridiculous it is. And for everybody saying, like, oh, he could take a step back or whatever, I get, well, okay. A 19% step back is enormous. If you're talking, and I'm saying, like, think about how big that is if he plays a full season, even if he misses one game. And that's the point. So, yes, okay, an injury can knock him off the number one tier or number one position. We've seen this before. Like, Adams has been the number one, hasn't repeated. We've seen, you know, oh, we could go through the years and years and years, and sometimes they've been the number two instead of the number one. I think it's Cooper Kupp, and then we talk about those other three. And I would have him in the same situation. Like, I would say Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, definitively in front of Adams, but if you argued, I wouldn't be like, we need to have a 10-minute argument about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so you say 20%. So, like, in per game production, that's like, what, like 3.5 games? So if he lost like 3.5 games of his season average per game, he's still right there.
You know, if you knocked off 40%, he still would have been wide receiver 9.
So he sits out 7 of 17 games. And
yeah,
he's still wide
receiver
9.
He was neck and neck with Diontae Johnson if he was knocked off 40% of his production.
And Diontae Johnson is a guy who we were excited about last year and are excited about this year, and who had a good year last year. Who had a very good year, right?
Yeah.
And feels like maybe he left a little bit of meat on the bone, but still, like, that is just an outrageous season from Cooper Kupp. And, like, is there, like, so regression, sure, and it's like, it's hard to expect a guy to do what Cooper Kupp did last year again. It's just, like, that's a ridiculous season. That's a ridiculous all-time wide receiver season. He could be just as good a player in 2022 and have worse overall statistics. But from a team context standpoint, there's really no change for him, right?
Yeah, you get Allen Robinson offsets Robert Woods.
Right.
And Van Jefferson's still there. I think if they bring back Odell Beckham, then you're saying, all right, a little bit more congested, but at the same time, you know, so Van is the one that really gets hurt there. So, and they're going to run plenty of three wide still. Tyler Higbee's still going to be the one that's kind of like left out of that mix. And I'm not of this argument, but I've seen people argue and say, what if Stafford takes another step forward next year in production? Not obviously like at this point of his career, but you know, what if he sees a 10% uptick? Uh-huh. And those are the people arguing for Allen Robinson to get back into the top 20 and Odell Beckham still being a top 40 relevant wide receiver, or if not, Van Jefferson still being. And those are like that kind of argument. So even what I'm saying is, like, no matter which way you cut it, unless Stafford takes a 10% drop off and then, you know, Cooper Kupp loses 5%, and then, like, so now you're kind of, that's the way you might get him to pull down a little bit. But yeah, I'm with you. Like, there's not much I'm worried about team wise. I think the most intriguing thing is, like, the value of Allen Robinson coming back.
Justin Jefferson could have an all-time season too. I mean, he, like, to me, if someone challenges Kupp, it's Jefferson. It's not Chase. I think Jefferson's the guy who, with unquestioned number one status, knowing exactly what that offense is, Jefferson to me is the guy who can, like, Jefferson is going to have such a wide gap between him and the next Cincinnati, or him and the next Minnesota pass catcher. And I'm not sure that, I would not expect Chase to have that wide a gap between himself and T. Higgins.
Well, so I don't disagree with you there. And what I'm going to go to is the fact that what we have 100 plus receptions for Jefferson last year, and Chase only had 81. I know that. And then the touchdown difference was like 3, and they're like about a half point per game separated. So what I'm saying is, if Jefferson holds steady and Chase steps forward just a little bit, I mean, what do you have last year? 120 something target, 130 targets, somewhere around there.
Sounds about right.
What if Chase gets a little bit more of the pie, just 2% more, just uptick him 2% target share, which actually that's a pretty decent number. But that target share, let's say he gets there and Tyler Boyd takes, you know, kind of a little bit more of a backseat this year, or the fact that, let's say, Hayden Hurst's situation doesn't pan out because he's a great blocker and they just continue to forget about the tight end, even fewer options than they had with Uzama. So I'm just saying, I don't disagree with you that, like, Jefferson could do it, but I think that Chase does have a world. And then, of course, I think it would involve an injury. Like, if Tyler Boyd got hurt and it was down to Chase and Higgins, even though there's two, which your point is right. I completely agree with you. Like, Jefferson probably have one of the biggest discrepancies from him to his second option on the team. Yep. But there is a world where Chase gets in there. But if, like, everything breaks the same as last year, I think you say, yeah, Jefferson could. But I still keep going back to it. Like, I don't see Kupp taking that big of a step back.
And we're in agreement on this. Kupp, Jefferson, Chase, Devontae as the top four in that order. We're mostly in agreement with the next group of receivers. Diggs 5, Debo 6, AJ Brown 7, Tyreek 8, CD 9, Mike Evans 10. Is there a tier break inside that 5 through 10 for you? And if so, where?
No, because it goes past 10.
It goes past 10. Tell us how far it goes to.
I would go all the way down to Chris Godwin.
Who is at 13 for you. So then after the names I listed, it goes Deontay Johnson 11, Keenan Allen 12, Chris Godwin 13.
Yeah, because you tell me Chris Godwin finishes as the fifth best wide receiver next year, and of course health, but if he finishes as fifth best, I wouldn't be like not shocked at all. Like Chris Godwin, 14 points per game last year, 14.1 tie with Mike Evans. Guess what? They're tied for seventh, right behind Tyreek Hill. So Tyreek Hill is 14.3. And it's such a small margin, like you get an extra touchdown or two. So if I don't get one of the big four, and I'm sitting alone looking at Diggs, Debo, Brown, Hill, Lamb, Evans, Johnson, and Allen and Godwin, just for everybody out there, so we get all these names involved, I'll just let whoever slides. I'll be taking a running back. And then, you know, so you know me, when we're talking about draft strategy right now in a way, is I 99% of the time like lean running back in the first round. But this could be the year where I flip it, get a Kupp, Jefferson, Chase, Adams, and then come back with those second round running backs while everybody's going after the Diggs, Brown, Hill round, because I just think there's going to be so much more consistency with those top four. I mean, look, everybody ever forget. Look at Tyreek Hill game log.
Oh, yeah.
Last year.
I think there's a concern for Tyreek Hill just getting away from Kansas City, the environment's uncertain. Like, he's a great player, he's a unique player, but no matter what you think of him, like, that is an uncertain environment that we can't be totally sure of until we see it for him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of concern there. We talked about briefly when we talked about transactions when we did that show, and I think it could be very much like the Seahawks, where, you know, this is even too high as having him as a wide receiver one. And I think once the draft shakes out and I do my projections, I can see him sliding back and falling into like Tyreek Hill 13-14 and Jalen Waddle 17-18. And they're just like super close like that. So, yeah, I think this could go a couple different directions. I'm going to be interested to see how this actually pans out once the projections are done.
Yeah, so that's actually where I have Tyreek Hill. I have him behind all the guys that we've already named, at least obliquely named, again, behind, you know, Deebo Samuel, A.J. Brown, Mike Evans, Deontay Johnson. One more guy who I don't want to bring up just yet. But what I do want to discuss here is I think there's an argument that Stephon Diggs is closer to Devontae Adams than he is to the rest of this group. I think Stephon Diggs right now is being a little bit the 2022 outlook for Stephon Diggs is a victim of 2021 versus 2020. 2020, he was the essential wide receiver. He was what Cooper Kupp was last year, the guy who was being taken in the early middle rounds, who ended up being, you know, wide receiver one and just a league winner. And then last year, you know, we're looking at last year as a step back of sorts. He had 103 catches for 1,225 yards and 10 touchdowns. He still got Josh Allen. He's still the unquestioned number one option in that offense, running, receiving, whatever the case may be. If we all love Josh Allen as the number one wide receiver, and we all love Stephon Diggs as the unquestioned number one passing game option in that offense, I think that we should be looking at Stephon Diggs. I'm thinking of Stephon Diggs more as a not quite the top tier. Like, to me, it's those first three. It's Kupp, Jefferson, Chase. Just take a half step down, Adams, Diggs, and then another step down before we get to this next big group of guys.
Yeah, and that's where we'll differ, because I don't put Diggs in the same conversation. The fact that, you know, now if the Bills stay how they are currently constructed, and, you know, now we're talking number two, Gabriel Davis, whatever they do with the rest, because we have no more Emmanuel Sanders. Cole Beasley is gone. I do think they end up draft. So they added Jameson Crowder, but whether or not Jameson Crowder stays healthy the entire year, I actually like that fit for him a lot, but that's the big Jameson Crowder's productive when he's out there. Mm-hmm. Can he stay out there? I just have a feeling the Bills are drafting a wide receiver. And I'm not saying that scares me for Diggs, especially a rookie and, you know, probably not even first round who they draft. But I'm saying in the fact of like the share. So 2 years ago that you're mentioning, you know, it wasn't just the receptions, because there's not that big of a difference in the receptions, but that volume also helped them have numerous 100-yard games, which he just didn't have last year. And I think that's the biggest thing. As you look at him, you're talking about, it's Keenan Allen. It's 11, 12 yards per reception. And he needs the 7-8 reception games to really have that. So I don't think you're crazy. I'm not there on Diggs.
Let's look at a little bit more in depth on Deebo Samuel, AJ Brown, CeeDee Lamb. It's I don't like I've got them personally. I've got CeeDee 6th, I've got Deebo 7, I've got AJ Brown 8th. You've got Deebo 6, AJ Brown 7, CeeDee 9. Like, I feel totally comfortable with them in there, but those are three guys who it's like it feels the range of outcomes for them this far in advance of the season feels incredibly wide for all three of these two guys.
Yeah, I think actually the funny thing is, as disappointing as people were with CD's production last year, and deservedly so, the people that I would say inside, so if we start with, like, Diggs is safe. Diggs is going to finish there. I wouldn't put him with Adams, but he's safe. So Deebo, Brown, Hill, Lamb, Evans. You told me which one is going to finish top 10. I would say out of those, I feel the best about Lamb. That being said, you know, if they go and do what they did when they drafted Lamb, when they had Cooper and they throw a first round pick at another wide receiver and all of a sudden it's Drake London and Lamb, I'm going to get my concerns back again because you have to drop him back down. But, you know, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, they could flip, you know, they basically flip games of who's getting 20 points and who's getting 11 anytime. Right. Tyreek Hill, we already talked about. AJ Brown, of course, has to stay healthy, but also now you're talking about like at least a decent pass catcher alongside of him, if healthy. Better than what he's been as running next to him has been at this point. Deebo is obviously the big one. I don't even love Deebo there. If it wasn't for the rushing usage, I wouldn't have Deebo inside the wide receiver one group because it goes back to, you know, we talk about like even like Ayuk. There was very few games where Deebo, Ayuk, and Kittle were all healthy together. And we're assuming as of today, Trey Lance is the quarterback, which is going to take a ding to the passing game. At least we've assumed might be see bigger plays, but we might see less consistency.
Yeah, it's totally true. It's an interesting group of guys that we're looking at in that next tier of receivers. AJ Brown gives me like, I'm getting some like not quite as good Calvin Johnson vibes from AJ Brown, just with the physicality, with the being the dominant pass catcher in his offense. You would expect a slightly better team. You know, even like the Ryan Tannehill for this era of football, similar enough to Matthew Stafford for the era of football where it was Stafford and Calvin Johnson together. But it's all about health and volume for AJ Brown with that offense. I mean, we expect Tennessee to basically run back what's worked for them the last 2 years, don't we?
I would expect, I would say, a little bit more because this kind of goes into, you know, any sport really is what's worked for you, but what's worked for you has gotten you as a playoff contender. What about taking the next step? Like, if you're going to take, you're not going to win the next step unless you can be more. And I'm not
haven't
saying,
they proved that to themselves at this point?
Well, and I was going to say, like, you don't have to all of a sudden become pass happy, but you need that balance of threat. And, you know, yes, Derrick Henry in December and January is scary to think about, mostly because of the wear and tear everybody's been through. And then also Derrick Henry, if he's still 100% at that point. But if you go against teams that are smart enough to say, like, all right, we're going to take away Derrick Henry, you know, yeah, sure, A.J. Brown, but Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown have shown to be, dangerous at times, but also not so dangerous at other times, even when Derrick Henry is having a 70-yard game and zero touchdowns. So I think they need some more of a balance, at least.
All right, a few more things I want to talk about at wide receiver before we move on to the tight end position. So you say Chris Godwin is the end of tier two for you. It starts with Stephon Diggs. It ends with Chris Godwin. I'm just going to read the next group of names. You say stop. I'll leave a little pause. You say stop when the next tier stops, okay? And I'll leave a little pause after each.
All right, I'm going to go to the bathroom and come back.
Really? That far?
No, with it's not T. Higgins that bad. I just want to make it. Yeah, it's not that far, but it's pretty. It's a pretty big chunk. So you'll see, especially as of today.
Let's get into it. T. Higgins, DJ Moore, Amari Cooper, Jalen Waddle, DeAndre Hopkins, Elijah Moore, Terry McLaurin, DK Metcalf, Michael Pittman, Michael Thomas.
Stop.
Brandon Cooks is next. We're stopping after Thomas.
I almost stopped after Cooks, but I mean, That's fringy. Davis Mills quarterback still, like, although he looked better than people expected. Hey, what, you know, that guy that was highly doubted, he was supposed to be the next
right.
Andrew Luck. They were like, yeah, oh, he's replacing Andrew Luck. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, yeah. But for all that saying, I almost even stopped after Michael Pittman. But Michael Thomas, now granted, Jameis Winston's not the best fit for Michael Thomas. Jameis Winston, we love him. But I will say, last year's Jameis Winston gives me hope. Because last year's Jameis Winston, before getting hurt, was more accurate and was hitting some of the shorter routes. But Michael Thomas is an intermediate god. If we're assuming he that year off hasn't done anything, that's why I almost said, you know what, if you want to cut off Michael Thomas, I don't have a problem with it. The other thing is, as of today, if the Colts don't add one of those top four or five wide receivers, Michael Pittman stays here. If they do, even if they draft a second round wide receiver, now you're like, well, Michael Pittman doesn't really belong here anymore, because you're talking about Michael Pittman, who you know I love. We've been talking about him for years, and now everybody's on the bandwagon with Michael Pittman finally. But Michael Pittman at a 25% target share versus Michael Pittman at a 20% target share is a big difference. So he's there for now. Metcalf, I'm still going to keep here. Like that, I know, but he's now at 21. We're talking about Metcalf is now down at 21.
Right,
like,
right.
I'm going to keep him in this tier. McLaurin deserves to be in this tier. Elijah Moore, Hopkins, Waddle, Cooper, DJ Moore, Higgins to go back up in the reverse order. Cooper wasn't until the trade to Cleveland.
Of course. Well, you mean till the Deshaun Watson trade?
Yes. I was going to say, well, both. As the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, he was still in Dallas, yeah.
Yeah, both ways. Yeah, both got him up this way.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be, I mean, that definitely, that's just, it's a nice, it's a great fit. And Amari Cooper is probably going to show us, I think he's going to be the best illustration of just how important the opportunity and volume parts of the fantasy football equation are this season with what he's got going for him in Cleveland. For the record, that ran us from wide receiver 14 to wide receiver 23. So give or take on either side about the entire wide receiver 2 class. Well, we're putting in the same tier here.
Let's look at it last year. So if you go from wide receiver, last year from wide receiver 7 to wide receiver 23, 2 points per game. If you go from wide receiver 14, which is technically Cordarrelle Patterson, so we'll leave it as wide receiver. We'll just take him out and bump up T. Higgins. Wide receiver 14 in points per game, 13 for T. Higgins. You have to go all the way down to wide receiver 34 before you get over 2 points per game difference.
That is crazy.
14 to 34, 20 spots, just two points per game.
That is wild. 21 spots.
Yeah. So, and then wide receiver 13 to 25, which was CeeDee Lamb, that's 0.9 points per game difference between the two of them. So just, I'm saying that to be like, oh yeah, I deserve to have this many people in my tier. No, these are the tiers. Now, some of these names probably will be mixed out with other people. But the point being is, while everybody else is now, some of these wide receivers are kind of slipping to the fourth, fifth round range, which I'll hammer down two of these guys. You know that. We talked about it last year. If I have two running backs at the first three rounds, like I always do, I get to avoid the running back dead zone. And then I double down with these two guys. And, you know, that's so just to give you a quick idea, I mean, if we're talking for next year, so first, second round, let's say you get Jefferson and Mixon. So you go Jefferson first or Jefferson Chubb or Jefferson Gibson or something like that. So then you get a second running back of like a Cam Akers, Elijah Mitchell, Fournette, Carter, somebody like that. And then so now your second and third wide receiver are Pittman and McLaurin. I mean, just think about that start. And it's Yeah, and I say that to say is like, okay, people would be like, well, if I start Jefferson Adams, that's just presidents. That's what I immediately.
Yeah. Adams Jefferson.
I know. That's what made me think of it is that they were backwards. That's why it made me pause. So I feel like we'll say Adams Jefferson.
Get Alexander Madison too.
I know.
There you go. Just need a Monroe and then we're good.
But if you go those two routes, well, now you're third. Now you're talking about what, David Montgomery? And then you're going to hit again because you're going to want that running back. So you're going to be like Montgomery, Singletary. And then you get one of those guys. You see what I'm saying? The setup just seems much nicer than it does to go the other route.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
I want to make an argument for Michael Pittman as that dude who's going to be the big breakout receiver in this group of guys. Because
even if they draft a wide receiver,
even if I just like, so what do you do last year? Like 1,100 yards, yeah, 1,082 yards, 88 grabs, 6 touchdowns, uncertain quarterback play all year long. Like, you know, Matt Ryan is, this is not MVP Matt Ryan, but Matt Ryan is a, you know, Matt Ryan is a, like, there's a backstop that exists with Matt Ryan that did not exist at all with Carson Wentz. Like, there is a competency floor down in, down out, game in, game out for Indianapolis that they just didn't have last year. By far the best quarterback situation Michael Pittman has had in his first couple of seasons in the NFL. Like, I just think, and you look at what, you know, look at what Matt Ryan has done over his career and producing just like rock solid receivers. And yeah, he had Julio, he had prime Julio for a big chunk of that, but we can't overlook Ryan's influence in that. And then he loses prime Julio, and Calvin Ridley has the year that he had in 2020. Like, I just think Matt Ryan has shown us enough here to believe in Michael Pittman having a big breakout season.
I don't know, 100% agree with this. So I will say the yards are there, but they're only 400, almost five. They're 400 and change through 7 fewer touchdowns. And I'm not saying, okay, look at my Ryan's weapons, but I'm going to go back to 2017, which was the drop off year after the unsustainable touchdown rate that he had, which over 2016. Yeah. He threw 4,095 and 20 touchdowns that year. So let me be clear for everybody out there. I 100% agree with Mike in the fact, like, Ryan versus Wentz, I'm taking Matt Ryan. I just don't know if it's a guarantee that, like, the numbers are going to go back to 4,500 and 25 touchdowns if it's only Michael Pittman and nobody else. That's my concern.
It's a team,
especially
also
with Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, exactly. It's a team that we know is going to live and die by Jonathan Taylor first and foremost. I think that, you know, that's absolutely true. But, like, I look at that group of receivers, and he's the, like, I guess Amari Cooper could be in there as, like, the unquestioned number one with Deshaun Watson. You know, Waddle's got Tyreek. Hill. DJ Moore has
Hopkins is the number one if he's healthy.
Hopkins. Like, I just feel Michael Pittman's got the best collection of his own ability, the role that he's going to have in his offense, his quarterback, his offense as a whole, the offensive line that's going to be there creating it. Like, he's got all those things are set up. The stars are aligned for Michael Pittman, I think, to be a top, you know, 10, 12, like, push that wide receiver one class.
I'm with you if they don't add somebody. That's where we differ. So I'm with you if they don't add somebody significant, to be clear. Like, if they draft fourth round wide receiver, then, you know, like, yeah, like, I'm trying to think, like, who might be in that fourth round. Hey, go read the article on the website. You can see all my rookies. I'm trying to think, like, so Pittman's bigger. I'm trying to think, like, if they – no, Dotson's going to be well gone before that. So, like, oh, Wendell Robinson is purely a slot, small as you can get out. Calvin Austin, same thing. Actually, exactly the same thing, basically. Maybe they go Kevin Austin from Notre Dame or Tyquan Thornton, who have, like, skills and stuff. Like, so those kind of guys. Now you're taking, like, somewhat even flyers. I'll still be with you.
Yeah.
So basically, if they stay away from my top 8 or 9 wide receivers with you, if they don't, then I'm concerned. And then I want to say the same thing. We already said at the show, please leave Michael Carter alone. I don't believe that they're going to do that. I could actually see them drafting, like, a Brian Robinson, like a strong running back to complement. And then we're looking at the Broncos from last year, which is fine, but it's not what we want. Also, please leave Elijah Moore alone. Corey Davis is coming back from injury. Corey Davis is fine. Please don't take Drake London in the first round. Actually, just don't take a first round wide receiver, please. Like, leave him alone. I want Elijah Moore to, like, be inside my top 20 next year. But it's funny. Like, the Jets could just be blown up fantasy-wise by the end of the draft.
You know, I'm sure we'll talk about it at some point, you know, later in, maybe after draft season, it's probably the right time to talk about it. But, like, the Jets could be like, I don't know if we'll be calling it sneaky fun by time we're like sitting in the summer, but like they're going to have some sneaky funness to them until the word starts to get out. If it is just like, we know what they did with their line, Michael Carter, please. I'm totally like, please leave him alone, 'cause he can be a top 10 running back. Elijah Moore, Corey Davis. Like there's something here. There's something being built here that could be a lot of fun in the fantasy world this season.
For that point is not just for fantasy. I might or might not, as of today, I did, put over bets on the Lions and Jets.
Yes.
Those are both supremely low.
Yeah.
Like, I feel
what's
like everybody's...
the,
everybody's
the Lions?
It might have gone up since I checked. You can give me, like, you do that show. What is
they're
going
to... I know, but, you know, we've been, you know... That's, Jake, the NCAA tournament just happened.
I know.
You know, like, baseball season is starting today. As you and I are, the baseball season starts in an hour from when you and I are recording this episode. We've got a lot to talk about. NBA playoffs are about to start.
I know it was like 5.5 for both of them around the range, but I wasn't on MGM, so that's what I was saying. I was on another site at the time. So,
actually, you make a fair point, because I have a BetMGM tab sitting open. I can find it really quickly.
See? Look, I'm in the middle of like pulling it up. I'm going through it right now.
Fair point.
So while you're doing that,
yes.
what were we talking about before that? Where I was, you kind of sidebar. Oh, the other one. So I was going to say this while you're doing that. Actually, still talking betting. The Jaguars, I feel like I'm staying away from them now because everybody, like, what is their? Aren't they up to like seven and a half games now?
The Jags are 6.5, and to go overs +105, under -125.
I saw seven somewhere on I think where I was getting the other two bets, and that's like it just. Oh, see, I can't even pull up spreads right now, or season wins for mine.
Lions also 6.5, +120 to go over.
No, they were 5.5 when I bet.
The New York football
Jets. They were both 5.5, right? Well, not the Lions were, but what are the Jets now?
This drop-down menu is giving me a lot of issues. The Jets are 5.5.
Yeah, see, I'll take both of them for six games. You tell me 6-11. Those teams, Jags. I don't like the Jags. The Jags are getting too. That's okay, that line. But if it pushes up into the seven, I'm staying away from that. As we completely sidebar on the.
There's
going to
be a lot of narrative around that team. A lot of narrative. No Urban.
That's
Meyer's
what I'm saying.
Gone.
That's why. Like, there's so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And almost. You know who they feel like? They feel like all the Mets fans betting on them in the World Series.
Hey, look. Like what? 40% of the starting rotation is down. It's not, you know,
hey.
If you're going to be without 40% of the starting rotation, no, do it on April 7th rather than September 7th.
You're saying the wrong thing, Beller, as we totally hijack this football show. When 100% of your starting rotation has had injuries in the past 2-3 years,
yeah,
you might have a problem. You might be a redneck. You might have a problem. That's what made me think of.
Yeah, and two of those guys in the rotation are, if not the two most important players on your team, two of the three most important players on your team,
two of the five most important pitchers in all of baseball.
Yeah. You might want to get those guys healthy, for sure, before you're starting to feel really good about them. All right. Yes, you're right. Sidebarring. I want to ask you one more wide receiver question. Do you think we get a Diontae Johnson discount this year related to his new quarterback Mitch Trubisky?
I think we will. I mean, just looking right now at early ranks, people are like, oh, he's still wide receiver one. I'm like, yeah, I mean, and that's a team that, so be clear, I would be shocked if they do add a wide receiver, because you know my feelings on Chase Claypool. I think he's a nice wide receiver three or a 2/3, just sharing those duties with somebody else. Yep. And I'm bringing that up to say, I don't necessarily think that they draft the wide receiver on day one or two, the fourth round. But if they draft the fourth round guy, like to talk about, you know, Austin or Robinson, or maybe they go like the Shakir or Pierce route or something like that, I'm still not concerned about Diontae Johnson. Like that's what I, again, my biggest concern when we talked about it for Trubisky is him sustaining a third wide receiver. I think Diontae will be fine.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, let's get over to the tight end position here. For you, Kelce Andrews. I know that's. I mean, that's how I feel about it too. But let me. I don't think we need to spend too much time on this position. I want to ask you this. This is going to be the key question as it relates to the tight end position this year. Mm-hmm. Your top four, my top four, yes, are the same. Our top six are the same. Let's go with those top six because I think that everyone would agree these are the top six. You can mix up the order, whatever. You rank them Kelce, Andrews, Pitts, Kittle, Hockenson, Waller. I rank them actually Andrews, Pitts, Kittle, or Andrews, Pitts, Kelce, Kittle, Waller, Hockenson. The point is like, what's the diff? Is there, like, do you want to make an argument for any of these guys as being like head and shoulders above the others? I'm almost like, the day of the first round tight end is definitely not existing in 2022. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't want to like be out there with my neck hanging out for any of these guys. If it were any of them, it would be Kyle Pitts just because of the youth and the role and all that. But other than that, right. I don't know. Like I am not really, I kind of want one of these six, but I barely care which one it is.
So that's I could see Pitts finishing number one next year.
Yes, me too.
And that's this. So where I'll say no, any of these six, sure. The only thing I would add is I think it's 3-3. Like, I think Kittle, Hockenson, Waller are a half of a tier down.
Agreed.
Not a full, but like almost like a 1 to a 1.5. And Kittle, because of the quarterback situation, is he now, you know, he's been the number two similar to Kelce, not number one slash two. Is he now the three? And that's a question there. And that's why, like, Hockenson coming back from injury, Jared Goff, everybody's healthy now. But I do like the Lions, obviously. But, you know, now there's everybody's healthy and they have wide receiver weapons and all that type of stuff. So that's really what it comes down to. We just saw Waller take a slight step back, and now you're adding in Adams, although I do think that helps Waller. It's just those three I just wouldn't put with Kelce, Andrews, and Pitts. So
yeah, I agree.
I would say I'd like to get one of those six, but I would push it further. I'd like to get one of the eight. I think Dalton Schultz deserves to be in this conversation now. He just finished, what, fourth or fifth last year? Mm-hmm. And assuming roster as of today, you know, they're probably adding a wide receiver, but even if they do, it's going to be a rookie unless they shock us all and pull the CeeDee Lamb situation again and add somebody in the first round, then we're having a different conversation. But I would almost, you know what? I'm just going to say it. I would put Schultz with the Waller, Hockenson, Kittle, and then drop down. Freiermuth, I would have liked more if Ben was still there, even though his arm is toast, just because I think that third option could be sustained with Roethlisberger. I think Trubisky hones in too much on two, although he does like his tight ends. I just wouldn't put Freiermuth as a guarantee. So, yes, I'm with you. I'd say seven, and then those four are just a step below the big three.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to look at it. And like, I think we're going to see a far more congested tight end selection process this year, right? We've had Kelce as a first round pick for so many years now, and then it was Kelce in round one, and then it was Kittle in round two, and then last year it was Waller in round two, and then there was another one coming up in round three, and then like Andrews and Hockenson in round five. And I think this year, instead of it being just sort of like drawn out across five rounds, you're gonna have all seven of those tight ends taken between rounds three and six.
I think that's what we're looking at for sure. And then if it's rounds three and six and you don't get one of the big seven, then just wait. You're talking about, I keep saying we need to add tight end dead zone to everybody's mind. And like after the big seven, do not draft a tight end in the seventh, eighth, ninth, 10th, 11th, 12th round. Just wait, because you want to do this real quick. I'm going to do this as rapid fire as I can, Bill, or everybody's going to have to put this in slow motion, because starting with Freiermuth at eighth, Goddard, Knox, Gronk, Gesicki, Ertz, Fant, Njoku, Smith, Komet, Okwu, Brevin Jordan, Hunter Henry, Logan Thomas, Tyler Higbee, Evan Ingram at 23. If you told me Evan Ingram finished eighth at tight end next year, I wouldn't say you're bananas. And I say that to say I just named 16 tight ends. Mm-hmm. Just wait until the 12th or 13th round, because you could. What's going to be the difference too? What's going to be the difference?
There's
going
to be no difference. No difference, unless like the old, like, so those first two. Or I guess for you, we had Freiermuth in there too, but like Knox, you know, because of Buffalo's offense, Dallas Goedert because of like the role he could have in Philly, but maybe, but I am totally with you. And like you mentioned Logan Thomas, like we were drafting Logan Thomas as a top 10 tight end last year, and there's nothing that stops him from getting into the top 10 again this year.
From 14 to 24 last year in points per game was 1.8. And then if you want to jump up to 11 through 24, it was 2.5. So there you go. It's just, And the biggest thing is like, well, 2.5 seems pretty significant until you look at their game logs and realize that it's 3, 15, 7, 9, 20, 2. Like, that's so just wait. And sure, and I know everybody's sitting there like, no way, Brevin Jordan's going to be the break. Yes, somebody in this, there's going to be two or three breakouts here, but that's my point. It's just wait, because there's no guarantee that Dawson Knox repeats that touchdown success. Because for everybody out there, real quick, I'm going to test you, Beller. You're so good with trivia. I love it. Uh-oh. Can you name, not his touchdowns, because for everybody out there, I had 9 touchdowns. Do you remember his receptions and yards last year?
Dawson Knox receptions and yards. I'm going to say it was fewer than 50 receptions.
Yes.
I'll say 45 catches and 620 yards.
Oh, you should have stayed with 500. It was 49 and 587. Like, that's just, and he was tight end 9.
Yeah.
Tight end 9. It's in both points per game and production.
Logan Thomas was tight end 8 by points per game. I'm looking at it now.
Was he?
Only played 5 games, but he was tight end 8 by points per game, sandwiched in between Hockenson and Knox.
There you go.
And that's the point. Like these guys are like 2.5. There's a chance that 2.5 points per game means something by the end of the season. But the 2 points against that are, number one, like you said, the game by game logs are just so up and down that there's no guarantee that this tight end X is in your lineup for the 20 pointer. Right. So that's number one. And number two, like, none of us is as good at predicting who is at the top of that 2.5 difference and who's at the bottom as we like to think we are.
And that's the big key there. And that's the biggest thing, because now you're the ones we didn't even talk about, Robert Tonyan, just a few years ago as a top 10 finish because of touchdowns alone. So, you know, that's tight end, just go chasing. Two things. If you think there's going to be touchdowns, I don't like to chase touchdowns and projections. You know that. We talk about that all the time. Tight end is the one position I would try to chase it. Like, Dawson Knox is a good example. Tom Brady and Gronkowski. Gronk's a great example. If you think the quarterback is going to throw 35, 40 touchdowns, you're probably going to get 7, 8, 9 going to the tight end. So go for that tight end. Or on the flip side, you look for the potential Kittles. And then now you can go down that route and say, Irv Smith. People forgot coming back. You know, now with him and Adam Thielen could be the number two. Noah Fant, if there's a trade there, could be the number two in the option. And I mean, you look at Zach Ertz is a perfect example. Once Zach Ertz was traded, he was number five tight end last year because he was the number three option and sometimes number two after Hopkins got hurt in that passing game.
It's a totally different position than the rest of the fantasy world. And just, I don't know, I think this is a good year that, this is a position where I usually try to go value hunting, but might be a year to get one of those seven guys because of just how clearly the top three and then the next four are so far separated from the rest of the position that it might not be a bad year to do that. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. Before we got going, I said to Jake, we probably don't need to go 40 minutes on this. And here we are. I'm looking at my counter. It just went to 40 minutes right now. So thank you for being with us for these 40 minutes and change. Next week, we turn the calendar over in the fantasy football world. We start our focus on NFL draft coverage. So get pumped for that. For Jake, I'm Michael Beller. Thanks so much for listening. We will be talking to you soon.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.